Cheryl has a cousin here from Wisconsin, came in for the celebration of the 4th, I guess, and stayed over some. And Samuel's sister is from Wisconsin also, so two Wisconsiners met right here at Bible Baptist Church in Fort Mill. And I got in the middle of something one time, and I had a man who was from Israel who was a bookkeeper for a Baptist church in Israel, was attending the services. And then another man from Israel who was a pastor of a Bible Baptist church in Israel was here. And I had gone to school with the pastor of the other church. And I said, and there was some stuff going on and I was trying to help. And I'm in the middle of this and these people are all from Israel. How in the world that happened in Fort Mill, South Carolina, you know? But it can happen from anywhere. I'm glad he mentioned Steve. I talked to him about his face. They're going to take that cancer off. Mark had one taken off also. And my wife had one taken off her nose a couple years ago, and they had to split her nose to get to it. So it can be deep if they have to go deep to get it all out, but just pray to get it all when they do it. And we appreciate all of you being here today, and we thank you for coming. I thought I was going to have to intervene with Jacob. He preached my sermon while he was up here, and this song we had practiced for several weeks before they sang it this morning, so I prepared the message to go along with this, and he's used all my scripture already, you know, so I don't really know what I'm going to say other than just repeat what he's already said, okay? Hebrews 4:12 is our text. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is the word of God. To study that in pastoral teaching is called bibliology, the study of the Bible. And today we're intermingling the Christian life with bibliology, what happens if we get in the Word, what can happen if people get in the Word, and what happens if people reject the Word in the final judgment. The Word of God and our part in salvation. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your Word today, I ask that you'll guide me in what I am to say. I pray that you'll use the word in the hearts and lives of the people here at Bible Baptist today and those that are watching by live streaming. We've been praying for Miss Osteen in Myrtle Beach. I know she watches the live streaming when she can. And we pray for Tommy and Rita Baskin. I know they watch the live streaming and they're shut in at home. So we remember these folks and so many of our dear friends, and we ask your blessings today because we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we know 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, all the writings of God. The Greek word is graphe. It means writings. Theopneustos, inspired, which means God breathed. These are the very words of God. If you don't believe that, you can turn to Exodus 31:18 and you'll find that God gave to Moses two tablets of stone that were written with the finger of God. God wrote the scripture, and he inspired men to write his word. They were his breath. They were the words that came out of his mouth. He gave them to men who were superintended by the Spirit of God to write them for all of us. God's word has collected for us in the book. The Greek word is biblos. Our English word Bible is the word of God. And it is inspired and preserved, and it is God's revelation to man. It is everything God wants us to know and everything we need to know. If you ever get to the point all you got's God, you'll find all you need is God. He can supply every need that we possibly have. We see in our text that the Bible is living. The Bible is powerful. It is like a surgeon's scalpel in the hand of the Holy Spirit. As you sit there this morning listening to the Bible and looking upon the pages of the Scripture as we read them or quote them, the Holy Spirit is doing surgery within. He cuts to the heart, and He can remove sin, and He can change and heal. And by the power of God, you can be transformed and become a new creation in Christ Jesus because of faith in Him. The Word of God repairs what's broken and removes what is the harm, the tumor of sin that we all deal with all the time. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. What you think about, what you dream about, what you consider, what you desire, God's Word knows that. As you read the Word, it looks back at you like a mirror, and you find yourself in the Scripture that God is speaking to you and dealing with you about something in your life. Like water, it has the power to cleanse. Turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 119, and you might put a mark there because we'll probably come back to that at some point. Psalm 119 and verse 9 through 11. Cleansing of the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Bible has the power to cleanse. The Bible has the power to reveal to us what we need to know about ourselves. And in Psalm 119, verse 89, it says God's word is forever settled in heaven. The prophets wrote the word of God. The prophets heard from God and then spoke to the people or wrote the word of God. They were holy men of old, Peter said. They heard from God 3,808 times in the Old Testament. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet saying, God said in Leviticus 35 times, and the Lord spake unto Moses these statutes or these words that he gave him. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 12 and verse 6. Psalm 12 and verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's word is preserved. God's word is pure. God's word can be relied upon, and it has a power to work in us, to help us, to draw us close to God, to cleanse us of our sins. The word is living. It is eternal. It has the power and the authority to save those who believe. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, 17, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And the power is the Greek word dunamis, where we get our English word dynamite, we get our English word dynamic. The Word of God is the dynamic of God to save those who believe the gospel message, the good news. The Thessalonican believers believed the apostles' message. And turn to Acts, if you'd like, in chapter 17. I want to read a few verses there. Acts 17. Paul preaching in Thessalonica. The Bible says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and as a visiting rabbi, they invite him to speak, and he speaks to these men for three Sabbath days. in Acts 17, verse 1. Now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great number, and of the chief women, not a few. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says that they received the word as the word of God. And a great work was established in Thessalonica. You see, the Bible is effective in helping people be saved. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's eternal word is preserved and reserved for mankind, and it will never fade away. In Isaiah 55, it is like the snow that comes down and turns into water for the hills and for the cattle. And the Bible says God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what he pleases. And he sends it forth for you and for me to read it and believe it and to hear it preached and to tell others about it, that will accomplish what God would have it to accomplish in the lives of people. It is satisfying in its contents. Jeremiah wrote in chapter 15, verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of the heart." But I'm telling you, my friends, we live in a day where multitudes have rejected the word of God. You don't hear senators and congressmen and presidents stand up and quote the Bible anymore, because they're disobeying it all the time. They want to commit murder in the name of freedom and call it abortion. And the president wants to do everything he can to make it more available for people to murder more innocent babies. The Bible says in Proverbs, God hates those that shed innocent blood. Mr. Putin, if I could tell you something today, that's what I'd tell you. You're shedding innocent blood in the Ukraine, and God hates those that shed innocent blood. The abortion crowd is picketing in the streets, wanting more and more liberties and freedoms to do this, to destroy the infants. God only knows what one of those infants might accomplish as a scientist or a medical doctor, or maybe just as a preacher of the word of God or a missionary on a foreign field. And God can do that. I had a man I knew that was a pastor of a church. He came down with leukemia. His mother had been pregnant after he was born, and the doctors told her the child was retarded and they could do an abortion and she wouldn't have to birth that retarded child. And she said, "Our faith is in the Bible and the Lord. We would not do that." And so they gave birth to this young man who was retarded. He was retarded, but he wasn't nearly as bad as they had told her he would be. He was a joy and a blessing in their life. And when his older brother came down with leukemia, he was able to give him a bone marrow transplant that saved his life. You see, there was a reason for him to come, a reason for him to be born, and God was behind it all. This is a dark world we live in. Turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and beginning with verse number 8. This is referring to those last days of the tribulation, the time when the Antichrist will be revealed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We are living in dark days where men reject God's word. They don't want to honor God. They don't want to believe in God. They want to create their own God in an image like themselves, not the true God of righteousness and holiness, and believe his word. They want to, like the old king in the ages when Jeremiah wrote the word of God and sent the scrolls there, and he read the scrolls, and he'd take a penknife and cut that one out and throw it in the fire. He didn't like that one. He'd read another one, he'd cut it out and throw it in the fire. And that's exactly what people are doing in this world today, and they're going to suffer the judgment of God because of it, unless they repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls to us. He has us call to them. Believe and thou shalt be saved, the scripture says. We are to put on the whole armor of God to wage this spiritual battle that we're in today. We're first to stand upon what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10. And then we're to put on the whole armor, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isaiah wrote, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Somebody comes to your door and shares the gospel and you get saved, you'll be thankful for the feet that brought them there and gave you the gospel message. They're to take the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, which is the knowledge of salvation. And the only offensive weapon that we are given is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We sang about that in the song with the choir a few moments ago. And then in verse 18 of chapter 6, it says we're to pray. We're to pray hard. We're to pray with urgency, sufficiency. We're to pray with supplication, the scripture says. And that refers to an earnest appeal unto God. Praying is asking. Supplication is when we pour our heart out with a need unto God. And my friends, we need to pray with supplication for this nation we live in today that is turning itself away from God all the time. We're to be watching with perseverance and supplication for all. The world today has no discernment of right and wrong. It's simply what they choose to do, and they want it to be all right. Well, Jesus can wash away sins, and he'll wash the church clean one day to be presented unto himself like a bride adorned for her husband. And he'll cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 26. He said to his disciples in John 15:3, "You are clean through the word." He said to God the Father that sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. The word is the seed for sowing that brings forth fruit in the parable in Luke 8 and verse 11. By studying the Bible, we learn discernment of right and wrong, of good and evil. And there are so many blessings in the Word of God, so many things that bring sweetness to our mind and our heart and our soul as we read and study the Bible. In Psalm 19, it is perfect, converting the souls of men. It is sure, making wise those who are simple. It educates us in all manners of wisdom. It is right, rejoicing our heart. Through the word, righteousness is produced. It is pure, enlightening our eyes. It opens our mind up to truth. It is clean, enduring forever. It is true and righteous altogether. And by reading of it, We are warned. You see, our government and our nation today is not reading the Word of God. They're not following the Word of God. They'd change more of it if they could get control of the Supreme Court. They would change the Constitution to where they could violate it more and more and more. But the Word of God would help them if they looked to it. By keeping it, there's great reward. Psalm 119 says the Word is faithful. It is broad. It is right. It is wonderful. It is pure. It is everlasting. And it is righteous. If you want to turn there with me in Psalm 119, I want to read one little part of that psalm. The whole Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And it is a fantastic psalm to read. You know why more people don't read it? It's got so many verses, it's too long for them. They can't finish it right away, you know. So what you can do is take a section as it's broken down in your Bible to read in the morning as a devotion. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You can be smarter than the older ones. You can be smarter than the ancients who established the country. You can be smarter than those in the government because you read and obey the Word of God. Verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To seek your way, study the Word of God. God will keep you in the right path if you'll do that. The Word of God has power for the unsaved that they need to hear. I have to look extra. My eyes are getting dim. 11:47. Okay, I'm all right. Power of the Word to the unsaved. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we can get unsaved people to come and sit under the hearing of the Word of God, greater chance that faith will be stimulated within them. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said that Timothy had the Scriptures that could make him wise unto salvation. And the Scriptures are the hope for the world. Through great and precious promises, men can become partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4. And 1 Peter 1:23, as we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. A cause of repentance and warning comes to people because they hear the Word, they read the Word, they hear the Word preached and taught, and it works within them as that sword in the scalpel in the hand of the Holy Spirit to bring change within them. We find in the Bible there's only one way of salvation in John 14:6. The living Word is the Word of God who died for us. Jesus said that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. He's the way of salvation, the power of the Word upon the unsaved, the power of the Word upon the saved. It is nourishment. It is our spiritual food for the battle that we are in with spiritual darkness. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the Word, the sincere milk of the Word of God. Later, he says that we need to take in the Word as meat as we grow. We become stronger, and the more we study the Word, it becomes meat for us and not just milk. It effectually works in those who believe, as it did in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. They receive the word as the word of God. It builds us up. Look at Acts 20 with me. Book of Acts chapter 20. And verse 32. Paul's leaving the elders of Ephesus. He says in verse 32 of chapter 20 of Acts, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." The word of God can build you spiritually to make you prepared for what you're going to face in life. And you can be sanctified and cleansed through the word. Jeremiah said, "Thy word is like a fire, and thy word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces." Sometimes we meet people that's heads are hard as a rock. Sadly, their hearts are the same way. But there's something that can break those. I love this poem about the anvil. "Last eve, I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil sing the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with the blasting years of time. 'How many anvils have you had,' said I, 'to wear and batter all these hammers so?' 'Just one,' said he. Then with twinkling eye, 'The anvil wears the hammers out, you know.' And so I thought the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone." God's word is still here for you and for me and for all those we can possibly reach before it's everlastingly too late. Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus as young men to preach the word of God, to herald the message of the gospel to the world before it's too late, to use it to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And to Titus, he said, to speak sound doctrine to the aged men, to the aged women, to the younger women, and to the younger men, that their lives might follow the path of God. But the rejecters of the word, who have pleasure in unrighteousness, who don't want the Bible to convict them, they don't want to make change, to them here, rejectors who sought the pleasure of sin instead of believing in the Lord, will face the judgment that is to come. If a person is alive when the rapture takes place and they don't know Christ is their Savior, if they continue to reject the Lord at the tribulation period, the Bible says God will send them a delusion so they will believe the lie of the Antichrist, that they all might be damned who had pleasure in unrighteousness and rejected their only hope of rescue and deliverance. I don't know about you, my friends, but I'm thankful today God delivered me from my sin, saved me, and gave me a home in heaven, and I believe his word is eternal. He not only saves those who believe, he keeps those who believe by his power. The word of God, the Spirit's sword. We sang about it today. And we've taken a look in the word of God twice. Once with Jacob's sermon and now secondly with mine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people in believing. We ask that you'll help us to be strong in this world that becomes increasingly dark. Like night spreading over a city, the shadow of it creeping from building to building. Sin has crept that way, Lord. And so many have turned away from thy word that they have not found the light of the word of God. Thou art the light, O God. Thank you for shining unto us and helping us to have the knowledge of the way out and the way of deliverance through Christ our Lord. Bless today in the invitation. Use the message on the live streaming, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.